gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin and today I'm joined by two dudes with attitudes, Nick Davey and Oliver Newman. How you doing this evening, lads?
I prefer being called a dude buster.
Yeah, doing well, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Dying of hay fever still. Hate this. It's been a month of deadness. So. And I think I overdid it in the gym on Monday because I've been walking like Kurt Angle all week. Yeah. A couple of exciting days. I did the Impact teleconference with John Morrison yesterday, and I did the Impact teleconference with Austin Aries today.
So, the Charmaine of sexiness.
Yeah, I was slightly starstruck yesterday. And I saw Toni Storm in Liscard today. That's my local shopping centre. So the rumours are true. She does live local to me. You lads okay? Anyone?
Someone's been a busy boy.
Right, shall we get into it then? So, thanks for everyone for listening to our three interviews we released last week. We had a bit of a Midlands wrestling week with our interviews of Corey Johnson, Drake Winter, and Harry Cruz. So they're all based in the Midlands and I've been training in the Midlands. They all did amazingly well. They all got about 700 plays. I think the Johnson one's heading toward more towards 800 plays, so that's amazing. So thank you for everyone. And apologies, we didn't get a UK Championship Tournament review out. We had a few technical issues, and by the time we resolved them, we felt it was a bit out of date to do one.
So. Chris's equipment turned heel.
Yeah. And we had to get the old reliable old mic back out. I don't know what to do. My new mic just doesn't work.
Bloody England being so selfish and successfully getting to the semi-finals, that didn't help matters as well.
No. Footballers. Before we get into our review of Extreme Rules, Oliver, you've been watching the G1. You want to have a quick chat about that?
Yeah, I haven't been watching like the full G1 shows because they're like 3 hours plus long. Mm. But what I've been doing is seeing the matches on paper and then seeing which ones, you know, have the potential to be really good. So the matches that I've picked out so far are from Night 1, Switchblade Jay White against Kushida Okada. Jay White's Switchblade character has been fantastic since he debuted at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And in this match, his character was on point. Okada was really good at being a good foil for his nefarious tactics and stuff. And then in the end, Switchblade Jay White wins by doing dirty tricks behind the referee's back, which is an absolute huge win for Switchblade Jay White. Another loss for Okada, and I kind of think for the next big storyline in New Japan is going to be Okada being kicked out of his own group.
Yeah,
that's where I think they're going with it. To be honest, he's going to lose, and then there's going to be like a leadership battle between probably him and Jay White. And then, much like what's happening with Bullet Club and stuff, people will take sides and it'll go from there.
I think White could be up for Most Improved Wrestler of the Year.
He's absolutely fantastic. The match he had last week against Juice Robinson, CJ Parker of NXT fame, was absolutely amazing. He just needed to show the in-ring work to go along with his character. Mm. And it's all falling into place now. Night 2, we had Kota Ibushi against Zack Sabre Jr.
Wow.
And Kenny Omega against Tetsuhiro Naito. And then one that was recommended to me after the event was have Hiroki Goto against Sanada, the former TNA X Division champion.
Mm.
So, in terms of how to replace on the card, I'll do it that way. We'll go with the recommended match first of all. Sanada against Goto was just counters for counters, reversals for reversals, and a breakneck speed. A real quality match, and I'm so glad that it was recommended to me, because that would have been one I would have been disappointed to miss. Kota Ibushi against Zack Sabre Jr. was just absolutely fantastic. Zack's character to go along with his wrestling skills, he strikes, Kota Ibushi strikes, the way they seamlessly, you know, transition from hold to hold, the submissions that Zack put on Ibushi, it was just brilliant. And they've said that it's even better than the New Japan Cup match between the two of them. So it's definitely worth seeking out. And last but no means least, a rematch from the G1, I think last year, between Naito and Omega, and this was out of this world. Just fantastic. Breakneck speed again, from bell to bell, and yeah, just an absolutely brilliant way to finish off night two. I thought we'd have to go a long way to get a better match than Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi, versus Kota Ibushi, sorry. But Naito against Omega was the next match, and I think it surpassed it. And then I've had a look at night three, but nothing really appealed to me, to be honest. And the next show, I think, is tomorrow, and that will be night four. And off the top of my head, I'm not sure what the card is, but I'm sure there'll be something that appeals to me on that. Actually, just going back to night three a second. The one that appealed to me was Switchblade Jay White against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I thought about it, I wasn't really that impressed with the Wrestle Kingdom match. So I decided to skip it. So yeah, looking to see what's available on night four. But yeah, that's my kind of thoughts on the best of the best G1 Climax 28 up until this point.
So who would your money be on for the final? Which two?
I could see it being, it could be switched by Jay White, to be honest, from the A block. From the B block, it's a toss-up, in all honesty. I don't think Omega's going to, because obviously champion and stuff. Could be Zack, could be Naito, could be Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, I've got my money on Kota Ibushi winning the whole thing. I think Ibushi versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom next year will be money with it. Golden Liver is employed.
I think Zack Sabre Jr. against Omega would be brilliant as well. And Naito, and obviously switched by Jay White in a rematch, because obviously he won the US title from Omega earlier this year. So, yeah, anyone that pins Omega gets a title shot, so it'll be really interesting to see how it goes along, really.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Harry Cruz, and I've had the honour to be on Broken But Glorious podcast.
Right, so we'll move on to our review of Extreme Rules. Did anyone watch the pre-show?
No.
You know what I did, Chris?
I didn't. I still haven't seen it.
I heard it was actually quite a good match, to be fair.
Almas versus Sin Cara was meant to be a decent match.
I thought the kickoff show was really good. Almas against Sin Cara should have started the actual main show for the fact that it pumped the crowd like a Lucha Libre cruiserweight kind of style of wrestling. And I thought the tables match, that one move with Kofi Kingston and the Tower of Doom and the mushroom stomp and stuff was crazy. True Kofi Kingston like it was. But yeah, two good matches on the kickoff show, to be honest.
Yeah, so the main show opened with the Deleters of World losing the Raw Tag Team titles to the B Team. Nick, do you want to go first on this one?
These battle scars! whilst I'm delighted for Axel and Dallas, I've really enjoyed them since they sort of joined the Miz. I'm glad they're getting used to properly now. the WWE absolutely hate Bray Wyatt. I mean, what on earth is pay-per-view? I mean, we're joking around this and so on. Now he's actually just lost to, I'm sort of contradicting myself here, but he's now just lost to Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. I mean, what is his pay-per-view record? I mean, the only one I can think of it on mode he's won in God knows how long is the Greatest Royal Rumble when they beat the Bar.
Mm.
In recent memory, I mean, I don't know how far we're going to go back, but I want to say maybe Balor during their feud, but I don't know that's true. So I mean, I don't know what the deal is there. I mean, I think they're taking the belts off them a bit too soon. I don't know whether the plan is to split them up or what have you. I think I've read rumours that they might be reuniting the Wyatt family, which I think will probably be the best thing. Well, obviously, that's quite difficult given that, obviously, they're on different brands. But, I don't really get why Hardy's dropping the titles, given we haven't actually seen an awful lot from them as well. So, but say fair play to Axel and Dallas. I mean, we have obviously predicted this, I don't think, especially since the Miz left. I think everyone presumed they've become jobbers. So, it's a weird one.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, To go along with what Nick said, if you look at the finish of the match, there's a miscommunication between Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, so that could sow the seeds for the breakup right there. Happy for Dallas and Curtis Axel because they're underrated as wrestlers, work well as a team, work great with Miz as the entourage kind of thing. I think this match shouldn't have started the show. Felt like a second or like a third match kind of thing. I would have gone with like Almas against Sin Cara to start the show, like I said a few minutes prior. So huge win, and they celebrated it in a huge way. So just to enjoy the moment really, and it'll be interesting to see where both teams go from here.
Their theme tune is amazing as well, I will say that.
Yeah. When Axel said I was happy as Stretch Armstrong landed on the moon, that made me laugh.
That was quality.
Yeah. Next up was Kurt Angle giving an ultimatum to Brock Lesnar. Either turn up on Raw, sign a match, or we'll strip you the title. And all the crowd was saying, strip him, strip him, strip him.
That's the biggest pop of the night, I think.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the next match was Finn Balor defeating Constable Corbin with a roll-up, Oliver. So.
Yeah, this is one of those matches where it felt like it's a bit thrown together, but with the talent in the ring dating back to their NXT days, this had the capacity to be a good match, and that's exactly what it was, really. Don't know what a loss does for Corbin. In this situation, I'm not sure a win against Corbin really elevates Finn Balor. It's just one of those matches, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
Good content, good wrestling, good trash talking from Corbin and stuff, and he controlled a lot of the match. So obviously he gained something there, and he's only lost by a fluke inside cradle, hasn't he? So. This was good action all around, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. I didn't really get out of first gear, I don't think. Corbin looked motivated and he worked hard and he played the bully role really well in this match before the Balor win, but I haven't got really much else to say about it. Yeah. Nick, have you got anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a standard really. I mean, in any promotion you have to have people that aren't going to go on forever, so I think it's done the job for the last month or so with Corbin acting like a bit of a bully, Balor winning, so I think it's done the job. He's got the correct outcome. I can't see it on the rematch. Be interesting to see where Finn goes for SummerSlam. No complaints. A pretty standard match.
Yeah, there's rumours he's going to be thrown into the IC title match at SummerSlam.
I did think, they'll play like a multi-man. I imagine I'll have a multi-man match for the IC at SummerSlam, which will make a bit of sense. There's quite a few of them. Fair play. I think that'd be pretty good. I have to say, I'm enjoying it on a separate note. I'm enjoying Constable Corbin. I think it's quite a cool thing. Obviously, having it. It's a little bit like Corporate Kane, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Years ago. But, so it's a bit like that.
Yeah, next up was Carmella defeating Oscar via pin in 5 minutes. And I thought this was horrible. I thought the entire match was there to kill a stipulation, which was crap anyway.
Don't sugarcoat it, Chris. That's how you really feel.
Yeah. Well, people on Twitter were saying how great Ellsworth was and what a great opportunist this heel Carmella is. But that's all well and good, but it was crap. I don't know. It's crap wrestling. And I'm all up for comedy wrestling, but I don't think Oscar should be in a comedy wrestling 5 minute match. She's far too good for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it just made Oscar look like a complete idiot again.
Yeah, it wasn't a great match. It was probably the worst match of the night, in all honesty, and I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I don't mind. I can't manage doing it. Something big heel that's ready to cash in at any point. But yeah, so Oscar, she's gone from undefeated into a year, he's losing back to back with Carmella, so it's, albeit obviously I know they haven't been pinned at Beats, but it's still, yeah, I think the whole match has been a bit of a mess, the whole feud's a bit of a mess. I think with the SmackDown Women's Division, they don't really seem like they know what they're doing, really. It seems a bit all over the place, I think, the SmackDown Women's Division, which is annoying given they've got a lot of good talent on them.
Yeah, none of the four horsewomen are on this show at all. So.
Yeah, I know Charlotte's obviously injured, isn't she? Hopefully she'll be up for SummerSlam. I think they've got a good division on SmackDown. It'd be nice if they could use it a bit better.
Yeah. Hopefully Charlotte will be back. She wins the title back and then we can do Charlotte versus Rousey title. Not that at SummerSlam. If Rousey has the Raw women's title.
Yeah.
Alright, so next up was, I don't know, Oliver, have you got anything to add to this match?
Just like what you guys said, really, enjoyed Ellsworth getting his ass kicked. That was a good kind of comedy fun, but it all makes Asuka not look very good, really. Carmella sneaking wins is good for her character because it fits, but yeah, the way things have been happening makes Asuka's character look a bit dumb, so I completely agree with what you're saying, Chris.
Alright, so next up was Nakamura defeating Jeff Hardy. Nick, so I'm guessing you have pages of notes on this epic encounter. 7 seconds as much as.
Yeah. Good storyline, Helen, to be fair. It keeps Nakamura looking like a proper twat, basically.
Yeah.
which is good, because he's been a heel, obviously. I think he keeps up the storyline they've built with Nakamura and keeps him as the heel they've made him since WrestleMania, so that's good. Obviously, it's been quite a good match, but hopefully we'll see the actual match on SmackDown this week, as announced on Extreme Rules. Most interesting point was Randy Orton coming out of the end of the heel turn. It wasn't a knockout out of nowhere, it was a low blow out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if he's going to side with Nakamura, or it's the case of he doesn't like Nakamura, but he doesn't like Jeff Hardy. He's just done that to prove he's a heel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I did think it kind of stole the thunder from Nakamura's title win a bit. Couldn't Orton come out on Tuesday and let him just enjoy his title win?
I imagine he'll just be a heel that doesn't like either of them, so
yeah.
I reckon he'll probably even be surprised if he cut it. I reckon maybe it'll be a triple threat match between the three at SummerSlam.
The rumours are that Jeff's really hurt his back, so he'll be out, so he just needs some time off.
Oh dear.
So, that could be why it was only 7 seconds long.
Oh no.
Yeah, Oliver, have you got anything to add? Or?
Yeah, I think regarding Orton and Hardy, they've got a storied history dating back to 2008 when they were competing for the WWE title. So that makes sense. I know it's not. I know WWE doesn't mean to do storyline continuity kind of thing. Mm. That's not really what they're known for. But in this instance, that's exactly what they've got. Orton and Hardy have been rivals since then. So. Thought it was strange, but the show being, 5 hours long from kickoff to main show to post show, you've got to kind of have something in the show that just allows it to move along, and this is what this was. Nakamura looks, character-wise, fantastic by doing the low blow and the Kinshasa just after the referee rings the bell.
Yeah.
Hardy's been blindsided twice. Doesn't really lose anything. Nakamura's got the, you know, second biggest title on SmackDown Live, so job done really. And then obviously Orton attacking Hardy means that you know, Hardy's got two opponents that he needs to get even with, so that gives him something to sink his teeth into. And then, much like you, Chris, heard that he might be injured, didn't know what the injury was, and in that instance, it makes perfect sense to move the title over to Nakamura.
A lot of heels around the mid-card thinking about it, isn't there? Got if Orton is heel now, you've got Nakamura, Orton, Miz, Almas.
Oh, you don't want any spoilers, would you? I won't do the SmackDown spoiler I was going to do.
Okay. Yeah, no, please don't. Sorry, it's a bit of pain. I will cry.
Completely agree with your statements. But then there isn't that level of face, I don't think, on the SmackDown brand. There's lots of huge heels in the mid-card, but I'm struggling to think of a face. Unless you put Brian as a mid-card act at the moment.
Yeah, well, you could do waving and a tag team. Bruce hasn't a face, is he?
Well, he's a face, but they're not. But he's not meant to be a face.
Well, yeah, but at WrestleMania, he's the most over superstar. because Rude's not. So, yeah.
Oh, we'll have a think about that while we talk about the next match. So,
aye.
Kevin Owens defeated Braun Strowman in a cage match. Can we go first, Oliver? This one.
Yeah. For somebody who can't watch Raw and stuff, I've only read about the storyline and obviously running away and stuff, and that makes sense to put him in a cage. And then, obviously, the moment is Kevin Owens being chokeslammed off the top of the cage through the announce table. And if that happened 20 years ago, we'd be talking about it for the rest of our lives. But what's happened with this is they've seemingly glossed over it, which is absolutely shocking, because Kevin Owens has put his life on the line in this instance, really. If you see the way he bounces, the top of the announce table isn't removed, or they've got the monitors underneath and stuff. It's a hell of a risky move to take, and it's kind of glossed over. And the actual show itself, and then I've read that they've talked about minor injuries on Raw and stuff, and it's just like, wow, that was worth it, wasn't it?
Foot either side, he would have really, really hurt.
Say that again, sorry.
Foot either side, he would have really, really hurt himself. So it was...
Yeah, it's a good way for him to get a win with keeping Braun strong and stuff, and like I said, really cool visual. Just gotta make more of it, really. Put it on highlight packages and stuff. And how dangerous this is, and if you ever want to turn Kevin Owens, this could be the beginning of it, couldn't it?
Yeah, Nick.
I think that spot deserves more credit. I thought it was excellent, that spot. I've quite enjoyed the whole storyline, but what's Kurt Angle going to do, man? He's tormenting Kevin Owens, the poor bloke. He's been thrown up the stage in a porcelain cabinet. Kevin Owens doesn't want to go to the toilet.
If this is the attitude here, he would have came out with brown goo on and not blue goo.
Exactly. or blood. I think the whole feud, it's been like a bit like the Baron Corbin Finn Balor. It's been a pretty good feud for the last month. Just building before, obviously, Gordon was towards SummerSlam, whilst Braun's obviously waiting for the cash in. So I think it's been a pretty good feud for the month. But the match is pretty good. It's had its good payoff, I think, with a fantastic spot. It does make me laugh. I mean, it's obviously wins the match, though, as well. Strowman's won the war. But no, I enjoyed the feud. It was probably my favourite match of the night, if I'm going to be honest. Second match, sorry.
You know when Kurt Angle was talking about a multi-man match for the right to face Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Were Balor, Corbin, Owens and Braun Strowman in that match?
I imagine so, along with Reigns and Lashley. I reckon
Reigns and Lashley were the only two who qualified for that match before they cut it.
Oh, okay. Because that would make sense about these two matches and the feuds going on in them.
Well, they probably them six probably would have been in it.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I thought the dynamic between the two worked really well. I thought it was a really smart way to get Braun to lose. Again, credit to Kevin for taking all the punishments and that bump. I liked his homages to the Attitude Era on their 20-year anniversary. So he did the crotch chops, he did a Stone Cold Stunner, and then getting thrown off the top of the cage.
Yeah, that's very well noticed there, Chris.
It was only 8 minutes long as well. Fantastic. I felt a lot of these matches were really short.
Yeah, it did feel a bit longer actually, that match, didn't it?
Yeah, I think most
of it. He was running for about six of it though, wasn't he?
Yeah, so next up was Lashley.
One second, Chris. It's like that t-shirt you've released on Teespring.
Yeah.
we'll fight anyone except Braun. That was really smart.
Yeah, that's my tribute to this show.
Yeah.
So then Lashley defeated Roman Reigns with a spear. We said on the last show that they'd taken the spear away, but now they've given it back and he's defeated Roman Reigns. I thought it was a pretty solid match. It took a while to get going, but once it got going, it was a good power versus power match. They both worked hard. It was far from great, but it was a fun 15-minute match. And the right person won, I thought. Nick, what do you think of this match?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. It was never going to be crap, was it? I think two great superstars. But yeah, really happy Lashley won. It's nice to see Lashley win. Good match. And yeah, I'd like to see the spear.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting now to see where. Both men. It'll be interesting to see where both men go now. With Lashley and Reigns, obviously. So we have to discuss more spoilers.
You can start do more.
Well, I think that one of them's going to be facing Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
If Mr. Heyman agrees to the fight,
or both of them.
Well, that's what I would like to see. I think I'd like to see a triple threat match.
Yeah, the rumor is it's going to be a triple threat match with Hulk Hogan as a special enforcer.
Don't think it really needs Hogan, but
according to What Culture Calls a Holic, one of them, I watched the rumor this morning. They want the visual of Lashley winning and Hulk Hogan handing him a title and raising his arm, so that means Hulkin isn't a horrible racist bastard anymore.
But I'd like it if the match. I mean, I'd still, if it is a triple match, I'd still have Brock win, but they'll have Mr. Strowman coming out to cash in. Because I can't imagine.
If they want the crowd to pop, they'd have Roman win and then Braun come out and cash in on Roman.
That would be good, but I don't think they won't go on another line of it. The Reigns Strowman went for ages last year.
That was
a great feud, but I just can't imagine they'll redo it quite quickly. You never know. But no, good match. Yeah, I think both men will probably be in it. Hopefully the Reigns are clean. It will be a good match at SummerSlam.
Do you enjoy this match, Oliver?
Yeah, I was concerned about the crowd at the beginning. I thought they were trying to take over for the match and stuff, but the actual wrestling itself, like you say, it was a good big man match. Mm. When I think Lashley got thrown over the top rope, that was pretty crazy.
That's when the match seemed to take off. I thought it was a bit slow before that moment. And then.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you say about Lashley winning with his spear, it might just be stolen Reigns' move, and he's not allowed to use the spear. He's just, stolen.
He won a triple threat match on Raw with the spear as well.
He did some really good work in Impact Wrestling with America Top Team and stuff.
Yeah.
And then kind of coming to the WWE cold, had that feud with Sami Zayn, which was cold as well. wasn't allowed to use some of the big powerful moves that set him aside from most of the roster. I mean, his finisher was a vertical suplex, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, if they allow him to use more power moves, then I'm sure it'll become quite popular with the crowd once again. But yeah, this is a good match, and I'm glad that the crowd, who are so anti-Reigns, didn't try to take away from it after that moment when Lashley got thrown over the top rope.
It would just happen. Happy it wasn't main eventing, because that was the rumour.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking as well. I was like, wow, this match is actually happening now. And then maybe they're learning from past mistakes.
Mm.
I thought it was a good match. Good enough to main event if you wanted to go that way, but definitely a good idea to keep it, lower down the card.
Yeah, the next match was a disappointment. The whole build has been Team Hell No, we're getting back together, and then they didn't really. But Nick, do you want to go first on Bludgeon Brothers defeating Team Hell No?
Yeah, well, obviously they had the backstage segment earlier on in the evening where they attacked Brian and Kane, which I've got no complaints about. Proves the Bludgeon Brothers aren't sort of, it proves they're still monsters, because I think they've sort of kind of gone a bit, obviously they've stood on with stuff and they've shown that they are the monsters, if that makes sense, over the last sort of, since they've actually won the titles, to be fair. So no, I thought that was good. And yeah, the match was a bit naff, wasn't it, I think, in all honesty. Happy the Bludgeon Brothers won, though, keeps them in style. Wouldn't like Kane Bryan to win it straight away. I don't know whether it's a one-off match, in hell no. What's going to happen there? But I imagine they'll go again. Maybe in some sort of stipulation match at SummerSlam.
Hmm. Yeah. Apparently, Kane did have a legitimate ankle injury, so that's why he had to kind of write off. But I thought the Bryan stuff was fun, but overall, it's just an average match.
Yeah, exactly.
And apparently, he signed a 3-month extension to his contract.
Who?
Daniel Bryan.
So, oh, his contract's running out.
Yeah, it was meant to run out in September, so he's signed. So it'll take it past all in.
Oh, well, I don't know why he signed. I thought he was only stalling because of not being able to write a fight, but now he can fight. I thought he'd want to be with him forever.
He signed a 3-month extension with a view to signing a 2-year extension.
I imagine he will.
He likes his part-time schedule, so he can stay home with Birdie and stuff. But I think WWE want him to get a bit more full-time.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oliver, do you enjoy this match?
Like you guys said, the Bryan fight from underneath against both Bludgeon Brothers was quite entertaining. Like Nick said, the Bludgeon Brothers attacking Bryan and Kane backstage actually helps get their characters across as, you know, remorseless, no mercy kind of, attacking someone from behind and doing as much damage as they could. So that was really good for their characters. Bryan looks, you know, like the underdog that won't go down without a fight. Kane comes out, so he looks heroic for trying to battle on. I thought storyline-wise, this worked quite well. Match-wise, you know, they did what they could do with the circumstances they were given. Like you said, Kane's got a legitimate injury, so it was going to be a 2-on-1 match, and I thought they worked it quite well, to be honest. I enjoyed what it was.
I was just really disappointed that we didn't get to see a Team Hell No proper reunion match. Next up was champion Alexa Bliss defeating Nia Jax. Oliver, do you want to go first on this overbooked mess?
Thanks for this, Chris. the takeaway for me was, Ronda Rousey is, the highlight of pretty much every show she's a part of. Same again in this situation. It's all about Rousey since WrestleMania 34. It's been about Rousey, so
yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have many thoughts on this match, really.
I don't
know. Just Alexa Bliss retains, and not sure what that means for Nia Jax, and obviously we're heading towards Rousey versus Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam, so that should be a good match on its own right.
Nick, have you got any thoughts?
So I completely agree about Rousey being the highlight of the show. The women's part of the match there. That was enjoyable. I think again this could be another potential trouble threat match, I reckon, at SummerSlam between the three of them, Bliss, Jack and Rousey. Overall it's no fair. I think this match would make that quite hard to get worse. Overall enjoyed it, and I think it keeps the story on pretty well. Obviously, Rousey's never just going to be a punter when she's involved in that role. Enjoyed it, and I think they could have really done an awful lot differently, to be honest, that match.
Yeah, that's it. The match was not good. I think it was just favourable. Far too many shortcuts with the weapons, and far too many people involved with having Mickie James and Natalya there as well. She retains. I'm not over happy that Bliss is back in the title scene after having the belt for 400 out of the last 600 days or whatever it is. But next up was my match of the night. I thought it was easily the best match. AJ Styles versus Rusev, which I think should have had a stipulation on it because it's a title match. I thought it's like a submission match would have made sense, as they were both trying to do the submissions the whole match anyway. So, Nick, do you want to go first?
With regard to this match, I thought it was a pretty good match. I did enjoy it. I think it's going to be a split between Rusev and English.
Oh.
Sorry?
No, I don't want it to happen.
Oh, sorry. I don't want that to happen because I think that's partly why Rusev's so over, but I don't know how they can't really get past that sort of scene, what's going to happen, he's going to say sorry to Rusev, he's going to say that's fine that just doesn't happen in WWE or any wrestling promotion for that matter. But I'm happy Rusev got given a main event match. I don't think he was ever going to win the title. And to be fair, as much as I love Rusev and I think he's so, I wouldn't have wanted him to win the title. I think Styles is too separate of it at the moment. I'm not a fan of people who sort of come in nowhere out of the blue and win titles as well. I'm not really a huge fan of that. I think they should win it on momentum, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't have been a huge fan of that. But overall it was a pretty good match. Correct winner. But I just hope, it's clearly going to be the end of Rusev and English. And it's just the case of where they go from there. I mean, if they are going to split, it'll probably be Rusev as a heel, which it could work, to be fair. English as a face. So I think English has done himself a world of good team up with Rusev. So whilst Rusev's been the one who's got all the chance of Rusev going, I think English has got himself over since they've been together, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, no, overall, a good match. Not a classic. But correct winner, it'd be interesting to see where Rusev / English go, and even Styles. It'll be interesting to see who's going to be Styles' next opponent for the WWE. What I will say is, I don't know why the Intercontinental is main eventing ahead of the WWE, so I'm not that I'm too
about
it. I did kind of like Dolph's promo on Raw about the Intercontinental being main eventing Raw, seeing it's got the prestige back, which does help there.
It's the number one title on Raw, and Raw's the main show.
Yeah, that's true. But no, it'd be interesting to see who Styles' next opponent's going to be. But so Simon's got a lot of heels on him.
I can only see it being Samoan Joe.
Yeah, there's another heel on Samoan Joe. Is he injured again?
No, I don't think so.
He's just gone a bit away from it, hasn't he?
Styles' next opponent has to be Samoan Joe.
It'll be a great match.
That has to happen at SummerSlam, surely.
Yeah. Oliver, what are your thoughts on this match?
In terms of what Nick said about Rusev and English splitting up, if they do, it'll be counterproductive of WWE because that'll put Rusev across as a good guy again, because it's English who's made the mistake, and if Rusev kicks him out of the tandem and the group and stuff, then it's going to be Roos, it's going to be English that's the bad guy because he made the mistake with the turnbuckle pad, not Rusev. So they don't want him to be popular. So I can't see them breaking them up, in all honesty. In terms of the match, I agree with you, Chris. This definitely was match of the night. Superbly executed. There was enough there to say that Rusev could actually win this match. And considering that they want to get behind the character from a, you know, bad guy perspective, a villain perspective, then there's obviously the opportunity to change the title. You know, there were some moments there, like the one-handed accolade, and obviously Styles played his role as well. And the only thing I was thinking after the match was over was Samoa Joe needs to jump him on the ramp.
Yeah.
Because, you know, AJ's gone through this long, you know, winded match, absolutely knackered, and the fans are applauding him, and the best way to get any, you know, controversy on Samoa Joe is for him to come and attack AJ Styles and stand over him with the WWE title. And that didn't happen, and I was disappointed in that. And much like what Nick said, I'm glad the IC title is seen as main event material. But the heavyweight title should be main event in the show, so it should have been Styles Rusev, and with the match quality, it could have quite easily, you know, main event the show.
I had this match as opening the show.
Yeah, I was able to talk to Shaz Rahman from Switch on Tagging yesterday, and he says, what matches should I look out for on Extreme Rules? And I said, well, I'm not really sure, but go out your way to see Rusev versus AJ Styles. So, this was the match of the show. And, yeah, it was really good. And if the show had ended on this note with Joe standing over Styles, we'd be reminiscing about this show in a good way, I think.
Yeah, should we get... And then we had the main event, was Dolph Ziggler defeating Seth Rollins 5-4 after sudden death overtime. So, Oliver, do you want to go first?
Yeah, obviously the crowd hijacked the match with the times.
So annoying.
And stuff counting down at random times.
It was quite funny to begin with, I thought.
It was at the beginning, and it got really annoying.
Annoying because they took the timer off the screen, so everyone was counting that time.
I didn't know that when I was watching it, only when I read about it later, so it makes sense in that situation. But you've got two guys here with the capacity to have a really great match, and it felt to me like it was very storyline based, and it was like a Raw main event as opposed to a pay-per-view main event. I did think it was really smart the way they used Drew McIntyre and the way he like went down three falls and all of a sudden he's attacked Rollins and Ziggler's able to get three falls back. That was really smart.
There's been a few complaints about that because he got disqualified and then he claymored him, so shouldn't he get disqualified again?
Yeah.
So there's been a few complaints about the ref being inconsistent.
I completely understand where you're coming from there, but he just got sent to the back, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I think storyline-wise, this was good. I think time-wise, I think even with the falls and stuff, it felt like a commercial, like, Raw Iron Man match, if you get what I mean. So, Styles Rusev should have main event because it's the best match on the card, the show. I'm glad that they showed good respect to the prestige of the IC title, but this match could have been a match of the year, but they didn't allow it to happen that way, and that's a shame.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah?
Yeah, likewise, actually, Seth Ziggler match was my match of the night. I enjoyed it. I think that was a bit too many people to my life. It was still a great match.
9 falls and 30 minutes is a lot.
I'm still not a fan of Seth Green about the title, I must admit. I think Seth's been the best. Seth's been the best superstar in WWE in 2018. So I'm still a bit disappointed he's not holding the belt. That's not disrespect Dolph, because I still think Dolph's a fantastic wrestler. I
a lot to offer. So I'm happy that WWE actually, I know there's been obviously a lot of negotiations over the last few years about who else going to leave. So I'm happy they get a new Saturday belt. And I'm really liking Dolph and McIntyre as a pair. And it's good that they're actually not, they're both going after single gold. They're not sort of going, so it's nice that they're sort of as a team, but not necessarily going for titles. But it'll be quite good if, one day before the year ends, McIntyre does become the Universal Champion, Dolph's the Intercontinental, and they both win the tag titles as well.
Yeah.
That'd be quite cool.
That'd be very Shawn Michaels Diesel, like.
For two Diesel of Attitude.
What am I thinking of? 2-man power trip as well.
Yeah.
Triple H and Stone Cold.
Yeah, Triple H and Stone Cold as well. Yeah, you're right.
So I quite enjoyed that. So, no, it'll be interesting to see that. But I think it was a good match, and I think they'll probably be both in the same match at SummerSlam, but I reckon there'll be a few more bodies involved in it as well. I think Balor will probably be in there, Becky Owens, and a few others, I suspect.
Yeah, I can see a multi-man match for the IC title.
There you go. Could be a ladder match, couldn't it?
Yeah.
I like ladders.
Yes, they haven't had a multi-man ladder match this year, apart from the Money in the Bank. They haven't had a title match and multi-man title match this year.
There was an NXT one, wasn't there? My favourite match of the year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mamma mia! That was brilliant. I think I actually watched that live.
No way, did you, Nick?
it wouldn't be the show about me dropping an American hint at one point.
Right, so do you want to give your really quick thoughts on the show as a whole?
Good, not as good, better than Backlash, but not as good as Money in the Bank.
It's not that hard to be better than Backlash.
I think, yeah, we'll say better than Backlash because it can't get, I think that was the worst one of the year. But
it's definitely the worst show we've ever reviewed. I think this must be the second worst. I can't think of anything worse.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as Backlash, and it was probably, yeah, it wasn't great. I'm not going to slag it off. It wasn't as good as Money in the Bank, but I wasn't impressed watching it.
Yeah, Oliver?
I think I'm a stickler for somebody who doesn't want the show spoiled, but when I was turning my phone on an hour into the show because of how much it was dragging, that kind of says what this show was. For any listeners and stuff, go out your way to watch Rusev versus Styles. That was really good. But the rest of it is something you'll watch, and much like you two, if you didn't tell me who was on the card and what the card was and the results of the matches, I'd probably struggle to remember them, to be honest.
Yeah. That's a huge thanks for listening tonight. Don't forget to check out our recent interviews with Justin Taylor, Harry Cruz, Drake Winter, and part 3 and 4 of Oliver's interviews with Corey Johnson. In the next few weeks, got a few interviews arranged. Got OVW ring announcer and Bandit wrestling promoter Kevin Cordell. We've got the Monster from The Rejected, Abaddon, and Warrior wrestling promoter Steve Tartorio. Did I say that right, do you reckon?
I think you did.
Yeah.
And the one interview that you missed out there, Chris, is your really good interview with a guy that's catching a bit of steam on the Midlands wrestling scene, Ryan Parrott.
Have we not done a show since the Ryan Parrott one? Oh, okay. Yep.
I'm not sure, it's just obviously he was talking about the interviews you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good interview. I really enjoyed that one. Right, so, yeah, hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Twitter, it's BBGWPod. We're BBDWPod on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll see you for our review of SummerSlam.
No!
No.
What about
World of Sport? Oh, yeah, World
of Sport. I was thinking we could do one like in 2 weeks' time when after the World of Sport one, and that will, that will sort of break. That, you know what I mean? I'm breaking up.
Well, we was looking to do a British wrestling special too, weren't we? So that'll probably be the next show, I'd imagine.
You could be in the middle between.
Yeah, definitely want to do a review for World of Sports.
Yeah, I need to do this podcast. So yeah, we can do it in two weeks. Yeah, because then that'll break it down between. Do it 2 weeks before SummerSlam. Oh, shit, we're still recording, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cut this bit out.
Sorry. And you always cut out the best bits. Good grief.
Yeah, good night.